Well, greetings from your American brothers in Christ.
Ska hälsa ifrån bröderna deras i Kristus i Amerika.
I actually am an American, but I was born in Great Britain, England.
En amerikaner men jag född i Storbritannien.
And God led me. Okay. And God led me to Long Beach, California, to meet a young lady named Louise who had a grandmother who came from Norway.
Men Gud ledde mig till Long Beach, California. Vi mötte en ung dam som hette Louise, hade en bestemor ifrån Norge.
So we are the Norwegian English American connection.
Så vi är förbindelsen mellan Norge, England och Amerika.
And it is a delight to be with you to share with you my brothers and sisters today.
Och det är glädje för mig att få lov att dela med er bröder och systrar idag.
And I thank my brother David here for translating in Norwegian so that I have a voice that you can be able to hear God's message this morning.
Ja, så ja.
You're not going to translate?
Jag är glad för att du har en tolk. Jag har inte prövat den ännu.
All right. Well, today, what I would like to do is give you a context for the major portion of the Old Testament that you'll be studying the next few days, the book of Judges.
Jag har lust att ge dig en översikt över sammanhängen, det står i det som du ska se på i de nästa dagarna i domarnas bok, den stora sammanhängen det står i skriften.
Now, in the interpretation of any text, including a biblical text,
när det gäller att tolka en text, en kallelsetext, inklusive en bibelsk text,
the most important principle is that of context.
Så det viktigaste principen är att se på kontexten, på sammanhängen.
Context refers to that which surrounds a particular writing.
Sammanhängen betyder det som står runt ett bestämt skriftställe.
That which surrounds a word or a phrase or a sentence or a chapter in the Bible.
Det som står runt ett ord eller ett uttryck eller en setning eller ett kapitel i Bibeln.
Context is everything.
Kontexten är allt.
And so in this first session this morning, what I want to do is to introduce you to a very broad context in which we're going to fit the book of Joshua and then the book of Judges.
Så i den första timmen så vill jag se på den stora sammanhängen som då efterpå ska se hur Josuas bok och domarnas bok passar in i.
And even though we're going to look at the Old Testament, I want you to turn in your New Testament to Luke chapter 24, verse 44.
Själv om att vi ska se på det gamla testamentet så vill jag likaväl att du ska slå Bibeln deras i Lukas 24, vers 44.
These are words of Jesus spoken to his disciples after his resurrection and before his ascension into heaven.
Det är ord som Jesus sa till disciplarna efter uppståndelsen sin och före han for upp till himlen.
He speaks to his disciples and says, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled."
Han sa till disciplarna sina, "Detta är mina ord som jag talte till dere mens jag ännu var hos dere, att det måtte uppfyllas som är skrivet om mig i Moselov och profeterna och psalmerna."
And then Luke adds in verse 45, "Then he, that is Jesus, opened their mind to understand the scriptures."
Och så lägger Lukas till i vers 45, "Då öppnade han, alltså Jesus, deras förstånd så de kunde förstå skrifterna."
And so scripture was made up of the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.
Skrifterna det bestod av Moselov och profeterna och psalmerna.
Jesus describes the Old Testament with these three divisions.
Jesus beskriver det gamla testamentet med dessa tre indelningarna.
The law of Moses refers to the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Deuteronomy.
Och Moselov refererar till de fem Moseböckerna.
And then the prophets included what was known as the former prophets and the latter prophets.
Och profeterna bestod av det som var känt som de tidiga profeterna och de senare profeterna.
The former prophets were Joshua, Judges, Samuel and Kings.
De tidiga profeterna var Josua, domarna, Samuel och kongeböckerna.
And the latter prophets were Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and what the Jews call the Book of the Twelve, but we refer to as the Minor Prophets.
Og de senere profetene var Jesaja, Jeremia, Ezekiel, og det som jødene kalte boka av de tolv, som vi kaller de små profetene.
And the Psalms was the last book of what is known as the writings, which incorporated the rest of the Old Testament books.
Og salmene var en del av det man kalte skriftene, som inneholdt resten av de gammeltestamentlige bøkene.
The Jewish Old Testament that Jesus was referring to is exactly the same that we have in our English and Norwegian Bibles.
Og det jødiske gamle testamentet er akkurat det samme som Jesus refererte til, akkurat det samme som vi har i våre norske og engelske bibler.
Our texts do not add a word nor subtract a word from what is in the Hebrew Old Testament.
Vår tekst tar varken vekk et ord eller legger til et ord til det som er i det hebraiske gamle testamentet.
However, when the Old Testament was translated into Greek, the Greek translators also changed the order of some of the books.
Men så var det sånn at når det gamle testamentet ble oversett til gresk, så forandret oversetteren også rekkefølgen på en del av bøkene.
And our Western Christian tradition follows that order of the Greek translation.
Og vår vestlige kristne tradisjon har beholdt rekkefølgen som de brukte i den greske oversettelsen.
But the way in which Jesus heard and the disciples understood the Old Testament was according to the Jewish order.
Men den måten Jesus hørte det og disiplene forstod det på i forhold til det gamle testamentet, det var i den rekkefølgen som det sto i deres.
And the Jewish order emphasizes that the former prophets are to be looked at as a unit made up of four books.
Og den jødiske rekkefølgen den gjør det sånn at de tidlige profetene skal bli sett på som en enhet som består av fire bøker.
Even though there are four books written by four different men led by the Holy Spirit over a period of time, it basically tells one story.
Så selv om det fire bøker som skriver fire forskjellige forfattere, ledet av den hellige ånd over en tidsperiode, så det likevel en fortelling som blir fortalt.
There is one continuous narrative.
Det et sammenhengende narrativ.
And so turn back now to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, and we'll start to see the links in this narrative.
Skal vi slå opp i Josva 1, vers 1, så skal vi begynne å se koblingene i denne sammenhengen, denne fortellingen.
Now Joshua 1:1, it begins itself with a connective, the word and.
Og Josva 1 begynner med et forbindende ord, nemlig da.
Joshua and the rest of the former prophets themselves link back to the narrative that is in Genesis through Deuteronomy.
Og Josva og de andre tidlige profetene, de kobler seg tilbake til det som står i forveien i 5. Mosebok.
And that narrative culminated with the death of Moses on the east side of the Jordan.
Og denne fortellingen, den slutter med Moses sin død på østsiden av Jordan.
With Israel ready to cross over the Jordan and go in to the land of Canaan.
Da Israel stod klar til å krysse Jordan og gå inn i Kanaans land.
And you note that that's exactly what is stated in the very first verse, and it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord.
Og det ser du i vers 1, da Herrens tjener Moses var død.
Now, the servants of the Lord pass away, but the Lord continues to live and to direct his people.
Herrens tjenere, de forsvinner ifra banen, men Herren fortsetter å lede folket sitt.
And the Lord's choice of the replacement of Moses was the man Joshua.
Og Herrens valg av etterfølger for Moses var mannen Josva.
And so Joshua begins with the Lord, that is, the book of Joshua begins with the Lord speaking to his leader now, Joshua.
Så Josuas bok begynner med at Herren taler til sin tjener Josva.
And the book of Joshua narrates the events that took place under Joshua, the conquest and the distribution of the land to the Israelites.
Og Josuas bok forteller om det som skjedde under Josuas sitt lederskap når landet ble inntatt og så ble det fordelt imellom stammene.
Now, just as Joshua was linked to what went before, when you come to Judges chapter 1, verse 1, Judges is linked to the narrative that was in Joshua.
Så på samme måten så der en link I mellom Josvas bok og 5. Mosebok I Josva 1:1 så har du det samme I dommernes bok den linka til Josvas bok 1:1.
Verse 1 echoes what was in verse 1 of the book of Joshua.
Vers 1 et ekko av det som står I vers 1 I Josvas bok.
Now it is, and it came about after the death of Joshua.
Etter at Josua var død.
And now we see that that the events that take place after Joshua's life are narrated in the book of Judges.
Og nå ser man at de hendelsene som fant sted etter at Josua var død ble fortalt om I dommernes bok.
And this is the particular focus of your study this week.
Och det är det du ska fokusera speciellt på denna vecka.
Now after the period of the judges as it was coming to an end, we jump then from the book of Judges into the book of Samuel.
Och när domarnas sin tidsperiod gick mot slutet så hoppar man till första Samuels bok.
Now, what we call the books of 1 and 2 Samuel were originally one book.
Det vi kallar för första och andra Samuels bok, det var upprinnligt en bok.
Now, Samuel 1:1 begins a little differently than Joshua and Judges.
Och första Samuels bok 1:1 börjar på en lite annan måte än Josua och domarna.
But it again begins with a connective and.
Men det börjar också. What in the Norwegian?
Well, all right. In the Hebrew, it still begins with a connective and.
På hebraisk så det så att det också knyter samman med ett og.
And the phrase that follows the connective is there was a certain man.
Alltså og det var en man.
Now that statement echoes what is in Judges chapter 13 verse 2.
Och det ett ekko av det som står I Domarna 13 vers 2.
These are the only two verses in the Hebrew Old Testament that begin with there was a certain man.
Det de eneste to plassene I det gamla testamentet der står dette uttrykket og det var en man.
So Samuel reminds us of the narrative in Judges which chronologically ended with the judgeship of Samson.
Och Samuel minner oss om det sista avsnittet I domarnas bok som handlar om Samsons sitt domarskap.
And in Judges chapter 16 we read that Samson died.
Och I domarnas 16 så läste man att Samson dö.
And Samson had been raised up as a judge in Israel according to Judges 13:5. To begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines.
Och I henhold til dommerne 13:5 så blev Samson oppreist som dommer I Israel for å begynne å befri de ifra filisterne.
Yet he did not complete that task of completely delivering Israel from the Philistines.
Men han fullførte ikke den oppgave fullstendig om å befri Israel og frelse Israel ifra filisterne.
And so the narrative continues in Samuel, as it were, after the death of Samson, to continue to show how God dealt with the Philistines.
Så fortellingen fortsätter I första Samuels bok hur Gud befriade de ifrån filisterna.
And just as there was a deliverance under Samson, there's a deliverance under Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 7.
Så var det på samma måten som det var en befrielse under Samson, så var det också en befrielse under Samuel, 1 Samuel 7.
A deliverance unto Saul and his son Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 14.
I 1 Samuel 14 så var det en befrielse under Saul och sonen hans Jonathan.
And ultimately a deliverance through David, the ultimate deliverance in 2 Samuel chapter 5.
Och så var det den ändliga befrielsen under David I 2 Samuel 5.
And Samuel is particularly the narrative concerning the rise to the kingship of the man David.
Och Samuel handlar huvudsakligt om hur David får kungamakten.
But as we conclude Samuel and come to the book of Kings, the last of the former prophets, we find in 1 Kings 1:1 and King David was old, advanced in age on his way to death.
Och när man då är färdig med Samuelsbøkene og kommer til 1. kongebok 1.1, så leser vi kong David var nå blitt gammel og langt opp i årene.
And Kings records what happens to the kings of Israel and Judah after the death of David.
Og kongebøkene forteller om hva som skjedde med kongene i Israel og Juda etter kong Davids død.
So these four books are linked closely together.
Så disse fire bøkene knyttet tett sammen.
Each book assumes that you have read the book that goes before.
Hver av bøkene forutsetter at du har lest boken som kommer i forveien.
And of course, it also assumes that you've read Genesis to Deuteronomy, which preceded the narrative in Joshua through Kings.
Og selvsagt så forutsetter du også at du har lest 1. til 5. Mosebok som kommer før det som står i Josva til og med kongebøkene.
Now, as Joshua through Kings is read as a unit, we realize that it describes, it narrates, it reports the history of the nation of Israel in the land of Canaan.
Og når vi leser Josva og til med kongebøkene, så ser vi at den beskriver for oss å fortelle historien om Israel i landet.
Going back to chapter 1 of Joshua, verse 2, the Lord gives to Joshua his commission, which is to lead the people across the Jordan to enter into the land of Canaan.
For i Josva 1, vers 2, så ser vi hvordan Josva får oppdraget om å lede folket inn over Jordan og inn i landet.
This is the land that God was giving to the nation of Israel as the seed of Abraham.
Det er det landet som Gud gav til Israel på grunn av at de var Abrahams ett.
And this entrance and possession was a fulfillment of what God had promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verses 18-21.
Og dette, når de inntok landet, så var det en oppfyllelse av løftet som Gud gav til Abraham i 1. Mosebok 15:18-21.
God promised to Abraham's seed that they would possess the land of the Canaanites.
For Gud lovte Abrahams ett at de skulle bo i landet som kananeerne hadde.
And this would come after they were servants in a foreign land and the Lord had delivered them and would bring them into that land.
Og det skulle skje etter de hadde vært slaver i et fremmed land, og Gud hadde befritt dem fra det og ført dem inn i dette landet.
Now God was in the process of fulfilling a part of that promise in giving the people the land in Joshua.
Og Gud oppfylte en del av det løftet når han gav de landet i Josvas bok.
So they enter into the land.
Så de gikk inn i landet.
And as they enter into the land, then God gives them victory over the Canaanites. They conquer their enemies and God's enemies.
Og når de da inntar landet, så gir Gud de seier over fiendene, og de tar landet ifra kananeerne.
And of course, Joshua is an exciting book that records the conquest of the Canaanites by the children of Israel under the direction and empowerment of God.
Så, og Josvas bok er en spennende fortelling om hvordan Israel inntok landet under Guds ledelse og i Guds kraft.
And they were led in that victory by the man Joshua.
Og de ble ledet inn til denne seieren av Josva.
But that just incorporates the first 12 chapters of Joshua.
Men det er bare de 12 første kapitlene i Josvas bok.
In chapters 13 through 21, we see that the land was then divided among the tribes as their possessions.
I kapittel 13-21 så ser vi hvordan landet ble fordelt imellom stammene.
And it was the tribes' responsibility to complete the defeat of the Canaanites and to possess and dwell in the land that God had given to them.
Och det var stammarnas ansvar att besegra kananeerna och ta det landet i eget och bo i det som Gud hade gett till dem.
And in chapters 22 to 24 we'll see the challenges that Israel faced to fulfill what God had promised that he would do for them.
Och i kapitel 22 till 24 så ser man de utmaningarna de mötte på när de skulle
But it begins, Joshua begins on the note of entrance into the land and conquest of the enemies.
Men Josva begynner med at de går inn i landet og beseirer fiendene.
But then you turn over to 2 Kings chapter 25.
Och så då slår upp i andra kongebok vers kapitel 25.
And now the situation is reversed.
Nu är situationen snutt upp ner.
Instead of going into the land,
istället för att de går in I landet,
we see Israel being taken from the land.
Så ser man Israel blivit tagit ut av landet.
In 2 Kings 25:21, the last sentence records, so Judah was led away into exile from the land.
I andra kongebok 25 vers 21 så säger den sista setningen, slik blev Juda bortfört från sitt land.
So the former prophets begin with Israel entering the land, they end with Israel being taken from the land.
Så de tidigare profeterna börjar med att Israel blir fört in I landet och de slutar med att Israel blir tagit ut av landet.
And then take a look at 2 Kings chapter 25 verse 5.
Och ta en kik på andra kongebok 25 vers 5.
This talks about how Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians broke down the walls and entered into Jerusalem.
Det är berättelsen om hur Nebukadnesar bröt ner murarna och intog Jerusalem.
And the people scatter.
Och folket blev spritt.
But notice in verse 5, the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all of his army was scattered from him.
Men lägg märke till vers 5, men kaldéernas här satte efter kungen och nådde ham igen på Jerikos ödemarker, och hela hären hans spredde sig och förlot ham.
And then they, the Babylonians, captured the king, brought him to the king of Babylon, who passed sentence on him.
Så tar babylonierna kungen till fange och dömer han.
It's interesting that the words there echo back to what was in Joshua chapter 10.
Och det är intressant att det ordet som står där är ett echo av det som står I Josua 10.
In Joshua chapter 10, that's the description of how Joshua put to defeat and flight the Canaanites, pursued them, and ultimately captured their king.
Och det är beskrivelsen av hur Josua slåss emot kananéerna och fick de till att flyktas. Herren blev spredt och till slut så tog de kungen till fange.
In Joshua, it is the Israelites defeating the Canaanites. When we come to 2 Kings, same language is used for the king of Babylon defeating the Judeans.
I Josua så är det Israel som besegrar kananéerna. I andra kongebok så ser man akkurat samma språk blir brukt om babylonierna sin konge som besegrar Israel.
And of course that led then to the destruction of the temple, the destruction of the city, and the desolation of the land.
Och det leder vidare till att templet blev ödelagt, byn blev ödelagt och landet blev lagt öde.
And so at the beginning of the former prophets, we have the entrance and the victory. At the end, we see the exile and the defeat of Israel.
Så I begynnelsen av de tidiga profeterna så ser man intagelsen av landet och sejren. Och I sista delen så ser man nederlaget och bortförelsen ifrån landet.
And so these four books, when taken as a unit, describe basically the entrance and then the exit of Israel from the land.
Så dessa fyra böckerna, hvis de blir sett på som en enhet, så beskriver de hur Israel gick in I landet och sejrade och hur de tapte och gick ut av landet.
Now the Israelites entered the land of Israel in approximately 1406 BC.
Och Israel de gick in I landet cirka 1406 för Kristus.
The destruction of Jerusalem and the culminating exile took place in 586 BC.
Och ödeläggelsen av Jerusalem och bortförelsen skedde I 586 för Kristus.
Thus the four books, Joshua, Judges, Samuel and Kings, narrate approximately 820 years of Israel's history.
Det vill säga att Josua, domarna, Samuel och kongeböckerna fortäller om cirka 806 år av historien.
And right in the middle of those 820 years.
820. What? I said the wrong number.
That's what?
I said the wrong
number. Oh, okay. Right in the middle of the 820 years is the reign of David.
Och mitt I dessa 820 åren så ser man David sitt kungadöme.
And in fact, David is the culminating and most important human character in the former prophets.
Och David är på mode höjdpunkten den viktigaste mänskliga skikkelsen I de tidiga profeterna.
And if you read the former prophets as a unit, the very midpoint of the narrative is in 2 Samuel chapter 5 to 8.
Så hvis du leser disse fire bøkene som en helhet, så er midtpunktet i 2. Samuels bok, kapittel 5 og vers 8.
And so the reign of David is right in the middle of the chronology of the 820 years.
Så herredømmet til David står midt i denne 820-årsperioden.
And the vital aspect of his reign is right in the middle of the former prophets as a whole.
Og det vitale aspektet med hans kongedømme, det finner vi i midten på disse fire bøkene.
And David is not only the center of the narrative, but his name is used more in the Old Testament than Abraham and Moses combined.
Og David er ikke bare midtpunkt i denne fortellingen. Navnet hans ble brukt flere ganger i det gamle testamentet enn Abraham and Moses.
Abraham and Moses
and Abraham og Moses tilsammens.
In a sense, the most important human character in the Old Testament is David.
Så i en forstand så det viktigste mennesket i det gamle testamentet, det er David.
And chapters 5 to 8 of 2 Samuel are the basic summary of David's reign.
Og 2. Samuels bok kapittel 5 til 8 er et sammendrag av Davids kongedømme.
In the middle of those four chapters, in chapters 6 and 7, relate two very important events in Israel's history.
Og midt i de fire kapitlene, kapittel 6 og 7, beretter om to viktige, avgjørende hendelser i Israels historie.
In 2 Samuel chapter 6, David brings the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem.
I 2. Kongebok 6 så fører David paktens ark inn i Jerusalem.
This is going to be the place where God has chosen to dwell among his people.
Det kommer til å være den plassen der Gud har valgt å bo iblant sitt folk.
And God and David's desire was to build for God a temple in Jerusalem.
Og det David ønsket var å bygge et tempel for Gud i Jerusalem.
But in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God, through the prophet Nathan, tells David he is not the one to build the temple.
Men i kapittel 7 i 2. Samuels bok så forteller Gud gjennom Nathan at David er ikke den mannen som skal bygge tempelet.
Rather, God was going to build a dynasty through David that ultimately would rule and reign not only in Israel, but over all of the earth.
Men Gud skulle reise opp et dynasti etter David, som skulle herske ikke bare over Israel, men til slutt over hele jorden.
And 2 Samuel chapter 7 is the most important chapter in the former prophets.
Og 2. Samuels bok 7 er det viktigste kapitlet i de tidlige profeterne.
It is where God enters into a covenant with David to raise up his throne and rule from Jerusalem over the nations through the greater David who was going to come.
Og det der Gud inngår en pakt med David og sier at han skal reise opp en trone der han skal herske over folkeslagene gjennom den større David.
So the former prophets as a whole are dealing with the establishment, God's establishment of a king over Israel.
Så de tidlige profeterne handler om hvordan Gud reiser opp en konge over Israel.
And historically that king was David.
Og historisk sett så var denne kongen David.
And then through covenant loyalty, through the oath that he had sworn, God said that he would bring a greater David to reign in the future.
Og gjennom sin lojalitet imot pakten og den eden han hadde sverget, så sa Gud at han skulle reise opp en større David i fremtiden.
Now Joshua and Judges in the first part of Samuel are emphasizing David's coming to the kingship.
Så Josua og dommeren og første del av Samuels bok viser hvordan David kom til å bli oppreist som konge.
Beginning in 2 Samuel chapter 9 through the end of 2 Kings, we see the decline of the Davidic house and the fact that in history, beginning with David himself, there had not come the perfect king to fulfill the promise that God had given to David.
Och i andra Samuels bok 9 och ut kongeböckerna så ser man nedgångstiden i Davids kungadöme så börjar med David själv och visa att Gud inte hade uppfyllt löftet fullständigt i David.
2 Samuel 11 records David's great sin of adultery and murder.
I andra Samuels bok 11 så ser du Davids stora synd när han drev hor och så blev en mordare.
That leaves all kinds of problems in his kingship in the end of his days.
Och utlöste all slags problem i hans kungadöme i hans sista dagar.
And the problems continue in the book of Kings, where Samuel turns away from the Lord after building the temple and turns to idolatry.
Och det fortsätter i kungaböckerna när Salomo vänder sig väck ifrån Gud efter att ha byggt tempel och ändar upp i avgudsdyrkelse.
How David's house itself is divided and only rules the two southern tribes of Judah and Simeon, and the 10 northern tribes go off unto their own kings.
Och hur Davids kungadöme blir delt och David sitter kommer att kunna härska över de två sydliga stammarna Juda och Simeon.
And so as Kings ends, the fulfillment of God's promise to David seems to be in jeopardy.
Och när kungaböckerna slutar så ser det ut så att Guds löfte till David är i fara för oss att svikta.
However, the last paragraph of 2 Kings chapter 25 describes how a king, Jehoiachin, was raised to a place of prominence in Babylon after Nebuchadnezzar's death. The Davidic dynasty continues to live. And so there is hope for the future, and that's picked up then in the latter prophets.
Men det sista avsnittet i andra kungabok 25 så ser man hur sin konge Jojakin blir uppreist till höjhet igen i Babylon och hur Davids kungaätt fortsätter.
So even as we begin to read the book of Joshua, we're being prepared for the establishment of God's king over Israel.
Så allerede når vi begynner å lese i Josuas bok, så blir vi forberedt på når Gud skal reise opp sin konge over Israel.
All right, let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 17, because here is where God gives a command on what his requirements were for a king in Israel.
Så la oss slå opp i 5. Mosebok 17, for her viser Gud hva krav han stilte til de som skulle være konger i Israel.
Deuteronomy 17:14, Moses describes how Israel will desire to have a king once they are in the land.
I 5. Mosebok 17, vers 14, så beskriver säger Moses att Israel kommer till att önska sig en konge när de kommer in i landet.
They'll want a king because all of the other nations around them have kings.
De kommer till att önska sig en konge för alla andra nationerna runt de har kungar.
God would use this desire for the establishment of the kingship that he desired.
Och Gud vill bruka detta önskes de har till att upprätta det kungadöme som han vill ha.
Israel would be allowed to have a king as long as he was a fellow Israelite, verse 15.
I vers 15 så står det att Israel skulle få lov att ha en konge så länge han var en israelit.
But in verses 16 and 17 of Deuteronomy chapter 17, the king was to make sure he did not do three things.
Men i vers 16 och 17 så står det tre ting som kungen inte skulle göra.
He was not to multiply horses.
Han skulle inte hålla många hästar.
He was not to multiply wives.
Han skulle inte ha många konor.
And he was not to increase silver and gold.
Och han skulle inte ha stora mängder silver och guld.
The multiplying of horses implies he was not to be dependent upon military strength.
Att han inte skulle skaffa sig många hästar betyder att han inte skulle stola på militär styrka.
He's a king, but not a king like the nations. He's a king who will not depend upon the strength of his army.
Han är en konge, men inte som hedningar kungarna. Han är inte en konge som ska stola på styrkan till sin egen herre.
Second of all, and now multiplying wives, he was not to depend upon diplomatic agreements.
Det att han inte skulle få många koner var att han inte skulle vara avhängig av diplomatiska avtaler.
And in not multiplying third, silver and gold, he was not to depend upon wealth.
Och att han inte skulle skaffa sig sull och guld betyder att han inte skulle stola på rikdom.
Well, if you don't depend upon the size of your army, if you don't depend upon your ability to negotiate treaties, if you don't depend upon your finances, what do you depend upon?
Men hvis du ikke stoler på styrken til hæren din, og hvis du ikke stoler på evnen din til å forhandle fram gode avtaler, og hvis du ikke stoler på rikdom, hva stoler du da på?
Well, the king in Israel was to depend upon the Lord and the Lord alone.
Jo, kongen i Israel skulle være avhengig av Herren og Herren alene.
And so in verse 18, when he became king, he was to make his own personal copy of the Torah, God's instruction to Israel.
Så i vers 18 så står det at når han ble konge, så skulle han lage sin egen personlige kopi av Torahen, de fem Mosebøkene.
The priests were the guardians of that text, and so under their direction, he was to have his own personal copy.
Så prestene, de vokta denne her teksten, og under deres ledelse så skulle han lage seg sin egen kopi.
This is a copy of what we call Genesis to Deuteronomy.
Det en kopi av det vi kaller om Mosebøkene.
Now you have to realize that the average Israelite of that day didn't have their own personal copy of Scripture.
Og du må forstå det at det var ikke vanlig på den tiden at folk hadde sin egen kopi av skriften.
Unlike us, they could not take the word of God and read it whenever they wished.
Ulikt oss så kunne ikke de ta Guds ord og lese i det hva tid de ønsket.
Significantly, they were to gather together with other Israelites Sabbath by Sabbath, and then on the great feast days come together and hear the priest read and explain the scripture to them.
Men betydningsfullt det var så skulle de samlas kvar sabbat och på de stora högtidsdagarna så skulle de höra prästen läsa Guds ord till dem.
Through the hearing of the ear, they were to have the words imprinted upon their minds and think about them day by day.
Och genom det de hörte genom öronen sina så skulle de få ett avtryck av det som stod i det ordet i tankarna sina och tänka på det dag till dag.
But the king not only heard, he was to be able to read.
Men kungen, han skulle inte bara höra, han skulle vara i stand till att läsa.
And he was, according to verse 19, to read the Torah all the days of his life.
Och i vers 19, i henhold till vers 19, så skulle han läsa i Torahen kvar enaste dag hela sitt liv sitt, alla sitt livs dagar.
And by reading the Torah, he was to learn to fear the Lord his God.
Och genom läsningen av Torahen så skulle han lära och frukta Herren sin Gud.
This fear would lead him to recognize that his position was one under Almighty God.
Och den här frukten skulle lära han att hans stilling var under den allmäktige Gud.
And in fear he was to submit himself to the Lord and what the Lord had said.
Och i frukt så skulle han underordna sig det som Gud under Gud och det han hade sagt.
And the result would be that he would obey what God had said.
Och resultatet skulle bli att han adlöd det som Gud hade sagt.
And in verse 20 this would keep him from pride, the great sin, the great challenge of those that are in power.
Och i vers 20 så står det at dette skulle bevare han i forstolthet, den store faren for de som har fått store makt.
God wanted his king to be humble.
Gud ville at hans konge skulle være en ydmyk konge.
God wanted his king to be completely submissive to his God.
Gud ville at hans konge skulle være fullstendig underordnet sin Gud.
He wanted a king who would obey what God had commanded and direct his people in that way.
Han ville ha en konge som var lydig mot det Gud hade påbudt och skulle leda folket sitt i den riktningen.
And of course there's great principles here for those whom God would choose to lead his people in any generation.
Och här är det stora principer och några lära för dig som Gud väljer till att leda sitt folk i alla generationer.
But this specific instruction was directed to the king himself.
Men denne spesielle instruksjonen ble gitt til kongen selv.
But it was also written for all of Israel so they might be able to evaluate and challenge and to encourage the king to be that kind of a king.
Men det ble også gitt til hele Israel for at de skulle være i stand til å oppmuntre kongen til å være den typen konge.
Now, even though he was not a king, Moses at that time was the leader of Israel.
Men selv om han ikke var en konge, så var Moses på den tiden lederen av Israel.
Yet his leadership days were numbered.
Men hans dager der han skulle lede, de kom til en ende.
Because Moses himself had disobeyed the word of the Lord.
For Moses hadde selv vært ulydig mot Herrens ord.
In Numbers chapter 20, at the end of the 40 years in the wilderness, the people of Israel groaned and complained about the fact they had no water.
I 4. Mosebok 20, på slutten av ørkenvandringen, så klagte folket på at de ikke hadde vatten.
And so God told Moses to take his rod, stand before a rock, speak to the rock, and water would come forth. For the people.
Og Gud sa til Moses at han skulle ta staven sin, så skulle han stå framforbi klippen og tale til klippen, og så skulle det komme ut vatten til folket.
Yet Moses, losing patience with the people, didn't speak to the rock, he struck the rock.
Men Moses mistet tålmodighet med folket, og så talte han ikke til klippen, han slo klippen.
God still allowed the water to come, but Moses had been disobedient.
Men Gud tillot at vattnet kom, men Moses hadde vært ulydig.
And so according to Numbers chapter 20 verse 12, God's judgment on Moses for his sin was he was not going to enter the promised land.
Så dommen over Moses i følge 4. Mosebok 20 verse 12 var at Moses ikke skulle få komme inn i landet.
There was going to be a change of leadership from Moses to someone else.
Det skulle bli et skifte I lederskapet ifra Moses til noen andre.
And then turn over to Numbers chapter 27 and you see that replacement for Moses was the man Joshua.
Og hvis du går til 4. Mosebok 27 så ser du at erstatningen for Moses skulle være mannen Josua.
Moses is told in chapter 27 verse 18 to take Joshua and to lay his hands on him and direct the priests and the people to recognize him now as their leader.
Og 4. Mosebok 27, vers 18, så får Moses beskjed om å ta Josua og legge hendene på han og stille han fram for prestene og si at han nå lederen deres.
And Numbers 27:18 tells us something important about Joshua. He was a man who had the Holy Spirit.
Og 4. Mosebok 27, vers 18, sier noe viktig om Josua. Han en mann som hadde den hellige ånd.
And so it is Joshua who is to fulfill the task of the taking Israel into the land and leading them in conquest over the Canaanites.
Så det var Josua som fikk oppdraget om å lede folket inn I landet og inn I kampen mot kananerene.
He is, if I can use this term, a kingly leader who will take Moses' place.
Så hvis jeg kan bruke dette uttrykket, så han en kongelig leder som skulle ta Moses sin plass.
Now in Joshua chapter 1, as the Lord comes and speaks to Joshua,
og I Josua 1, når Gud kommer og taler til Josua,
it is interesting that he challenges him to be the kind of a man who would model a kingly character before Israel.
Så det interessant at Gud ber han om å være en sånn mann som kan vise hvordan en konge skulle være for Israel.
Previously, Moses had mirrored that kind of kingly attitude before the nation.
Tidligere så hadde Moses vist fram en sånn kongelig innstilling for nasjonen.
But now it is Joshua who will lead the people.
Men nå det Josua som skal lede folket.
Notice in verse 5 of Joshua chapter 1 that the Lord assures Joshua, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you, I will not fail you or forsake you.
Legg merke til I Josua 1 vers 5, hvor Gud forsikrer Josua om at like som jeg var med Moses, vil jeg være med deg. Jeg vil ikke slippe deg og ikke forlate deg.
That Joshua would be enabled by God to fulfill his leadership role just as Moses had over the people.
At Joshua skulle bli satt I stand av Gud til å fullføre sin lederrolle over Israel på samme måten som Moses hadde fått det.
But this word of assurance did not mean that Joshua didn't have very definite responsibilities.
Men dette ordet som skulle gi han mot, det betydde ikke at Josva ikke hadde helt spesielt ansvar selv.
In verse 6, he was to be strong and courageous.
I vers 6 står det, vær frimodig og sterk.
In verse 7, he was to be strong and very courageous.
Og i vers 7 står det, vær du bare riktig frimodig og sterk.
And he was to be careful to do all that God had commanded through Moses.
Og han skulle legge vind på å gjøre alt det Gud hadde påbudt gjennom Moses.
He was not to turn from what Moses had commanded to the right or the left, exactly what was demanded of a king in Deuteronomy 17.
Og han skulle ikke vike av ifra det som Moses hadde påbudt, hverken til høyre eller venstre, akkurat det samme som sto at det kongene skulle gjøre.
And again, notice that his obedience, just as Deuteronomy 17, was based in verse 8, upon his reading and his following what was in Scripture.
Og legg merke til i vers 8 at hans lydighet skulle være basert på det samme som i 4. Mosebok 17, på at han leste i Skriften.
The writing that was in the Torah was to direct his speech, and he was to meditate upon it day and night, and it was to direct his actions.
Det som sto i Toraen, det skulle styre hva han sa, og det han skulle grunne på det dagen og så skulle det styre handlingene hans.
And so, God had commanded him, and for the third time, verse 9 reiterates that Joshua was to be strong and courageous.
Og Gud byr han igjen, han gjentar det for tredje gang i vers 9, vær frimodig og sterk.
He was to be a military leader.
Han skulle være en militær leder.
But he more importantly was to be a spiritual model for the people.
Men viktigere enn det så skulle han ha vært en åndelig rollemodell for folket.
And again, the Lord reminds Joshua, don't tremble or be dismayed, don't be anxious, don't be nervous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Og så minner Gud han igjen, ikke skjelv og vær redde, for Gud er med deg uansett hvor du går.
So ultimately, it is the power of God, the enablement of God that is going to allow Joshua to be successful.
Så til syvende sist er det Guds kraft og Guds utrustning som skal gjøre at Josua skal lykkes med det han har sett seg for.
But that does not take away. It only is the foundation for Joshua's personal obedience, responsibility before the Lord to know the word of God, to fear God, follow the commands of God, so that God could give him success.
Så det tar ikke vekk noe av Josua sitt personlige ansvar, men det legger bare grunnlaget for at han skal kjenne Guds ord, at han skal følge det i alt han gjør.
And of course, as we go through the book of Joshua, we see that Joshua the man was a man throughout the rest of his life who essentially was faithful to God in all that he said and all that he did.
Og når vi leser i Josvas bok, så ser vi at Josva stort sett gjennom hele livet var en mann som var preget av det han leste i Guds ord og gjorde etter det.
And God fulfilled his promise to Joshua to give him success, to lead the people in victory, and give them the land.
Og Gud oppfyllte løftet til Josva og lot det lukkes for han, at han både med innta landet og gi det til folket.
He was God's instrument fulfilling God's will as God's leader for that generation of Israel.
Han var Guds redskap for å utføre Guds vilje og Guds leder for Guds folk i den generasjonen.
And as we will turn in the next session to look at the book of Joshua itself, it's just a great reminder again that God raises up men as leaders through whom he can fulfill his will.
Og når vi skal se nærmere på selve Josvas bok i neste time, så vil vi se at det minnes på hvordan Gud reiser opp ledere som skal fullføre hans vilje for folket sitt i sin tid.
But as far as the former prophets, one of the most important aspects of Joshua is the fact that he becomes the model of the kind of a man that Israel should desire to be their king.
Men i sammenheng med de tidlige profetene, så er det viktigste punktet at Josva blir en rollemodell for det som Israel skulle ønske seg når de ønsket seg en konge.
And of course, as we then take a look together at the book of Judges, is to say the men that God will raise up after Joshua as leaders in the tribes and see how they compare to what is in the model of Joshua, the leader.
Og i Dommernes bok så vil du se på de folkene som Gud oppreiste som ledere for folket sitt, hvordan de kan sammenlignes med det som Josua var.
And though God will use them, none will measure up to the standard of Joshua. In fact, that will await the book of Samuel and the man David, who was ultimately God's choice to be king over Israel.
Og selv om de gjorde bra ting, så det ingen som kan måle seg med Josua, og det fører frem til Samuels bok at Gud setter sin mann David på tronen.
Now we'll look at this in Joshua chapter 9 in the next session, but even Joshua wasn't the perfect leader.
Men skal se på dette Josua 9 i neste time, men til med Josua var ikke en fullkommen leder.
He was a servant of the Lord. He was a good model, but he wasn't perfect.
Han var en Herrens tjener. Han var en god rollemodell, men han var ikke fullkommen.
In fact, none of the judges, as we've seen, as said, will be perfect.
Og ingen av dommerne vil være fullkomne.
And when we get to Samuel, we've already stated even David will not be perfect.
Og når vi kommer til Samuelsbøkene, så vil vi se at ikke engang David var fullkommen.
Joshua and David might be the highlights of the former prophets as far as men of God, servants of God.
Josua og David kan på mange måter være høydepunkten, lyspunktene i de tidlige profetene som Guds tjenere.
They are the best of men who led Israel in the past.
De det beste av de menn blant de mennene som leder Israel i fortiden.
But the best of men are still men at best.
Men det beste menn er fremdeles menn, bare menn på mennesker på sitt beste.
And we leave the former prophets with a great desire that God would send the king that would model Deuteronomy 17 perfectly.
Og vi forlater de første profetene med et stort ønske om at Gud skal sende den kongen som fullkomment lever opp til det som står i 4. Mosebok 17.
A strong and courageous leader.
En sterke og modige leder,
who would know the word of God, fear God, and do what God had said perfectly.
Som ville kjenne Guds ord, frykte Gud, og utføre hans vilje fullkomment.
Though a man who would be humble.
Men likevel en mann som skulle være ydmyk.
A man who would be worthy of men to follow.
Og en mann som skulle være verdig i det at mennesker fulgte etter han.
The greater Joshua, the greater David.
Den større Josua, den større David.
And of course, when we get to the New Testament, we find that great leader was our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Og når vi kommer til det Nye Testamentet, så finner vi selvsagt ut at denne store lederen var vår frelser, Jesus Kristus.
But Joshua is a worthy text and a worthy man to read and reflect upon. The man whom God uses to lead his people.
Men Josuas bok en bok som verdt å lese, og Josua en mann som verdt å studere, en som Gud brukte til å lede sitt folk.
And in the next hour we'll turn and take a look at what the book of Joshua tells us about Joshua as far as his ministry and leadership, how God used him in his generation to fulfill his will for the nation of Israel.
Og når vi leser i neste time skal vi se hva Josuas bok sier om Josua og hvordan Gud brukte han til å utføre sin vilje med Israel.
And again, this is the context of Joshua, and of course Joshua is part of the context of Judges, and so hopefully this will prepare us to think about what God would have for us, particularly in the book of Judges in the days before us.
Og dette er jo sammenhengen til Josua, så er det sammenhengen til Dommernes bok, og forhåpentligvis kan dette forberede oss på det som å få noe ut av hva Gud vil si til oss gjennom Dommernes bok.
Let's pray together.
La oss be sammen.
Father, we thank you for the way in which you work through men that you choose and you raise up for the task of leadership.
Far, jeg takker deg for måten du bruker menn og reiser opp menn til å være ledere.
We thank you that it was your will to establish David as king over Israel.
Jeg takker deg for at det var din vilje å reise opp David som konge over Israel.
The Father prepared the way through the ministry of the man Joshua.
Og du beredde veien gjennom tjenesten til Josua.
And also prepared the way through the judges in that period when there was no king in Israel.
Og du beredde også veien i dommernes bok og den tiden der ikke var noen konge i Israel.
Father, we thank you for Joshua and his faithfulness to you.
Far, vi takker deg for Josua og hans trofasthet imot deg.
Father, we pray that particularly for the men here that you've placed in positions of leadership over your people, that they would think of these principles that you gave for the king and how they were modeled in Joshua, and that we may be those kind of men in our generation.
Og vi ber for deg blant oss, de menn her blant oss som har fått ansvar for å lede ditt folk, at de kan tenke på det. Josua og den måten han levde på og var de sånne menn som leder i lydighet mot deg og ydmykhet.
Father, may we be men of your word.
Ber om at vi må være ditt ords menn.
Men who fear you.
Menn som frykter deg.
And men who obey what you have commanded.
Og menn som adlyder det du har påbudt.
That you might accomplish your will through us in this generation.
At du kan fullføre din vilje gjennom oss i denne generasjonen.
And we pray this for the honor and glory of your name through Christ Jesus our Son. Amen.
Og vi ber i dette for at ditt navn skal æres og helliges gjennom Jesus Kristus, din sønn. Amen.